Trisha, I'm very sorry about your loss.
It's your fault!
I can't even imagine how you must feel.
Your children,
Rinsing,
are safe now. But have they heard her crying? Have they felt the sting of her tears? They will. And she will come for them. Who? La Llorona.
Welcome back to the Hiding for Horrors podcast. We review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Taron.
I'm Elion.
And today we're reviewing The Curse of La Llorona, released in 2019, directed by Michael Chavez, and written by Mickey Daughtry and Toby Lacunas. Elion, can you please give the people the plot?
Ignoring the eerie warning of a troubled mother suspected of a child endangerment, a social worker and her own small kids are soon drawn into a frightening supernatural realm. Their only hope to survive La Llorona's deadly wrath may be a disillusioned priest and the mysticism he practices to keep evil at bay, on the fringes where fear and faith collide.
Like I said when we kicked off this entire retrospective review, I had only seen three movies in this entire Conjuring universe, and that was Conjuring 2 and Conjuring 3, well, and Annabelle Comes Home, and then this movie. And I've only seen this movie three times, meaning twice. And upon rewatch for this review, I can definitely say that my love for Linda Cardellini has definitely colored my opinion. Because now taking off the fact that I love Linda Cardellini, I'm like, whoa, this movie got some issues. And it just felt like something was off. And it just felt like something wasn't being portrayed accurately, even though I don't know much about the La Llorona legend. It just felt like this wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And I don't know what I loved about this movie previously, but I don't love it anymore. But what about you, Tawan? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I did not like this movie the first time I saw it, and even more so now. I think the main thing immediately that hits when I think about this movie is, why is it taking place in LA instead of Mexico? I think that was the one big thing. I was like, I feel like this should not be why is La Llorona in LA right now?
Because she's an international queen. No.
No, you're right. But even besides that, it's just a lot of the stuff in here, it's just so cookie cutter to the point where it's boring at a certain point and doesn't even really isn't even entertaining. I could see for people who may not see a lot of horror and stuff like that, they probably would find this really scary, but people like us, watch a lot of horror, consume a bunch of it. This, you could just tell when something's being, put out to just be put out. And I kind of capitalize on the urban legend of the La Llorona story. And it just doesn't feel like it was captured properly for the movie. Especially because I'm not Latino or anything like that, but I've heard the story of La Llorona from jokes from friends and stuff, and just looking into myself. So it didn't really seem like this was kind of accurate of what happened, I guess you kind of say. But also, it didn't really feel like it took the legend to heart. It was just oh, we have character that we could put in a horror movie what can we do for the jump scares? And then that was kind of it. And it didn't really kind of go past that point. And a lot of stuff in the story just didn't really make sense for like certain character decisions. Like this was like one of those movies where you can tell they were really just, they didn't let character choices or anything kind of form naturally. They just kind of wrote it for plot convenience most of the time. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things in this movie is like everything is like super convenient to the plot. And at a certain point, it's like, at a certain point, it was like, we are getting all this stuff that was just kind of like happening in the decision making, the decision, quote unquote, from the characters. But I don't feel like certain things in here would be things that the characters would probably do if they were real people. But I think that's, I'd probably say that's like my least beginning thoughts on it. I definitely don't think this is a good movie, though.
Like, I don't know, it's basically like The Forest, to be honest. You know, because The Forest was about that Japanese forest and like the legend, you know, all the things that happened there. And, but like, you know, then these certain people, got to the movie and they just made it so boring. And I feel like La Llorona was kind of like the same way, you know, like it wasn't even really scary. I feel like the makeup was really cheap. And I feel like I've said this before where like they just don't do well in like, you know, in the whole makeup department. And, you know, and we did see La Llorona a lot and it just didn't look good. And then I don't like the legend that they had used. I mean, La Llorona has a ton of legends. I just feel like they probably could have gone a different route, you know what I mean? Besides, like, well, there's a lot of them, basically. And, oh. And, you know, and then, you know, I'm Mexican, so I grew up hearing all sorts of stories about La Llorona, and, like, one of the main things is that, like, a huge fear is hearing her, you know? Like, everybody would say that they heard La Llorona, they heard her cries, and honestly, like, it sounds scarier than the movie made it seem. And I feel like they definitely could have leaned on, I mean, if they, you know, I guess, really learned the legends and talked to people, then, you know, you could have, they probably could have known that, you know, the biggest thing is hearing her. And I feel like they could have leaned on that versus, like, seeing her, I guess, if that makes sense. I like, they could have leaned on the whole sound aspect of the movie, which I know they've done before and they've done it great, versus like you see her and then you're dead, you know? That's just not, I don't know, I grew up with like the fear of, oh my, like I'm gonna wake up in the middle of the night and I'm gonna hear her, you know? And there's just like a ton of like stories and a ton of legends. Like I've heard stories from my family members. And it's just, I don't know, this movie just really disappointed. I did not enjoy it. I mean, I don't know what these people will be doing with these movies, especially with, like, cultural movies. They just don't tend to come out well. Not unless it was, like, originally made in that country, you know what I mean? But, like, no, yeah, this movie was awful. I think it's the worst out of, like, the whole series. It just was not giving anything.
I was kind of like, I do agree with you on this fact, just due to the fact that like, I'm just bringing back what you said about like why is this film being taken in LA. It was just like it really caught me off guard, like because it was like the minute I found out it was like being like this movie was being filmed at like, you know, basically a huge urban city, it was just like it just didn't have the right atmosphere for this film, especially like, they're definitely taking La Llorona now, obviously from the Mexican tradition, the folklore of Mexico, the Mexican folklore. I'm so sorry. And what I'm just like, I'm just really confused. Like, how did La Llorona get there? Like, I understand it was just more of like, I don't understand why a folklore is being taken from one country and put into a different city. Like, it was just not, I don't know how to explain this 100%, but that's how I'm feeling. Like, on top of that, the story, it just rubbed me off the wrong way, because I'm just like, I'm not going to say I was raised on La Llorona. Like, I've heard La Llorona as a child. I was like told, like, if you are a misbehaved kid, La Llorona will take you. And I've always like listened to that part, but I'm like, it was the fact that the writers and all this were trying to make it seem like, I have no words to describe how I'm feeling, because it's just like they made La Llorona just like basically every kind of horror demon that you see on fucking Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it was just like the way that they portrayed La Llorona wasn't even like pretty, it wasn't that accurate. When I'm like, or like they just made La Llorona just, no, just, I'm just gonna revert back to what I was trying to say. It's just like literally, they made her just to a, just like a classical Hollywood demon. Like, it just like, it didn't run. It didn't sit right with me, to be honest. Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just, the movie I thought I was in love with isn't this movie at all. Like,
no, well, to be fair, like maybe like the first 10 to 15 minutes was actually pretty good. And I don't, are we allowed to talk about what parts of the scene we like here, or is that later on? Because I'll just hold my comments for that.
I mean, we can go ahead and jump to those scenes right now if you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just like the first 10 to 15 minutes, I actually really enjoyed it. I was like, okay, it wasn't bad. You know what I mean? It was like, I actually was enjoying the plot. And then when we get to the scene where, you know, the two kids unfortunately pass away, and we see La Llorona crying in the background and all this shit, and I'm just like, why is she here? Like, you already drowned the kids. Why is she here? On top of that, it was just like, I don't know. It just got so
convoluted.
Yeah, it just got so stupid, in my opinion. It was just like, I don't even have the right words, and I feel bad that I don't have the right words to describe it. Because I'm just frustrated and I'm really upset.
Yeah, I get that. But since we're talking about the scenes, I will say there were a couple scenes that I liked from the movie. The first being the car scene with the kids. That actor who was playing Chris, he sold the fear for me. Because like when the window started to roll down and he just like leaped over and he was freaking out the entire time. Like that, he sold it for me. That was a good scene. But also, if you get this call that this woman's kids are dead, you have to go to this crime scene, then why the fuck are you bringing your kids? You didn't have anywhere.
I was like, what?
You didn't have anywhere to take them? You didn't have to
swear
to the neighbor's house. Take them to the neighbor's house. Take them anywhere. Fucking 24-hour.
Why was it so imperative that she needed to go right then?
Right?
And if it was the she's night, not a like, cop.
Why didn't you even call her in the middle of the night? Like, why didn't you hear a phone call? Like, I just don't understand. And then, when connected to that scene, when we get to the police station, and Patricia's like, I prayed to La Llorona to come and take your kids and give me mine back.
Like, and in my head, I was like, "That works."
Hello. And in my head, I'm just like,
"What?"
I mean, I don't know how the legend works, but baby, your kids are dead. Like,
from my aspect, the legend. I'm sorry to cut you off. It was like the way I was like raised, or like the way that I remember the story, even at all. It's like it's been a while. Like, it's been a while since I even heard that. You don't know. Because like, it's basically a child folklore. Yeah. No, it's like you can't really control that. You don't know. It's like she's there.
Take your kids, not mine. I didn't think it worked that way. And I'm just like, that whole interaction, I was just like, so you can bargain with La Llorona? You can offer somebody else's kids to save yours? But like, how are you going to get these kids back when they're dead? And the more, like, we saw the bodies, they're gone. I didn't get that part. And then
One thing go for it. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just I think this is like the biggest mystery it's gonna be in this film. Like, it's just like, how did this happen? Like, how did the Yenna get to this like family as well? Now, I'm not talking about the second family. No,
Patricia. Like, yeah, I mean the first family. Like, yeah, what was the connection? Like, how did how did she latch onto Patricia? That's left exactly. So like, and then the other scene that kind of just like took me out of it is, how did Patricia get out of lockup to get to their house? Wasn't she locked up, or did I miss a scene where she got out?
There wasn't anything in between there. She was just detained. We don't know anything that happened after that point.
So we saw her being detained, and then next thing we know,
she's we never knew. Well, we don't know if she was charged for anything. So
true, but like her being any part of that last act did not make sense for me. Like, it was pissing me off. When she busts through the door, I'm like, okay, no, not this bitch again. Not her again. Like, all those scenes are her at the end, and then she was going so hard. And then just hearing the kids cry, she snapped out of it. Like, why is that going to make you snap out of it when you already offered these kids to these fucking demonic entity? Like, I don't understand, like, why you have to change your heart now? And then why is that fucking that excommunicated disemboweled where the fuck priest was there? Like, what was he, like, I didn't understand. Like, you showed us a priest who's actually still a part of the order or whatever, but then you give us somebody who no longer wants to be part of the priesthood?
I mean, he was only there for the Marvel connection.
Animal had to make a little cameo.
Yes, true.
But he was still, only there for our MCU connection. You know?
So we only really had him to give us the story of, to give us the legend. And then, even with him telling the legend, it made it seem like, okay, he's telling us the version that he knows. But from the way that he told it, I was expecting to see like a mother clip or the real story to be revealed towards the end. And because the way he told the story was like, okay, this isn't the right version of the story. This is just what everyone's been led to believe, but we're going to find out the true story. So I was like, okay, maybe, you know, he didn't kill the kids and the man killed the kids and then killed her, and then she's just killing the kids because she's trying to get her kids back. I just thought it was going to be like a different story that was going to be told because the way that he presented the story to her, but it wasn't. So then I was just left more pissed off and mad because I could have sworn I remember there was another story that was told towards the end of the movie that kind of like tried to make her seem not like she was a completely deranged, heartbroken woman. But that didn't come. And rewatching that scene in the church just made me mad. It's like, you made it seem like there was more to the story. But that might have just been me looking for something more. But other than that, like, there weren't any scenes that stood out for me that were any other way. I mean, the whole pool scene was kind of just like, why is this here? Like, because at this point, we can all just sit in the fucking pool until the sunrise. Like, if you already blessed the fucking pool and she can't get back in it, then shit, let's get soggy until the sun comes up. Like, I don't understand what's going on.
That pool being in this movie pissed me all the way off. Because if Lyard owner really wanted that girl, when she had the umbrella, why she ain't pull in the pool?
That's what I got.
She could have drowned her right there. She had a whole pool.
Okay, no, there is a scene. One more scene. The scene that pisses me off. The scene that makes me remember why I hate kids in horror movies.
Oh,
this
my God.
Girl.
Sorry, bro.
You seen this fucking, this ghost attack you twice. Try to kill your brother. Try to kill you. But you're going to risk everyone's life for a fucking doll?
It was an ugly ass doll too, but you know what? That's just me saying it.
Mommy, mommy, I got the doll and I didn't break the barrier. Like, yes, what's that bitch
fucking doll?
I was so glad when she got whooshed.
When she got pulled out that door, I was fucking cracking up. Like, that was so funny to me. Like, whoever, the way they shot that, like, that seemed out of a comedy.
I was dead.
Oh, man, that shit was so funny.
God.
But what about you, Twan? Any scenes that stood out for you, good, bad, or indifferent, sir?
So, I think one scene that does, like, piss me off is going back to when she brought the kids to the crime scene with her. Why does she park so far back in the first place? Like, if you, like, in that scene, it was so darkly lit. Like, if I'm bringing my kid,
I think it was more of like she didn't want them to. I think she was trying to prevent them from seeing the kids' bodies.
Well, if she wanted to prevent them from seeing, she should have brought them.
Right.
But and like including with that, it's like if even that taken into that account, it's like girl's dark as hell outside. Like it's wherever she parked her car, there were no police back there, and there were no police or anything back there. I could have seen if she would have parked them like near like one of the cop cars or something, so that they wouldn't just be there by themselves. But she parked them like so far back, and I don't know. It was just like. Why would you do that? Like it didn't make sense to me.
I just wanted to say this. Like, I felt like I don't know if you guys agree with this. Like, I felt like this family was very isolated to everybody.
Like, it felt like it.
Yeah, like it was just like. Firstly, like just to bring back from The Conjuring, remember, like they were isolated because they lived in like their own land, basically. But I'm talking about this family lives in the city. With literally, neighbors, and I'm just like, they've isolated the family so much. I'm like, what was the point of the beginning with the guy? I'm just like, oh, it was just like two scenes with him, and that was it. I was like, oh, okay. I don't know. It was just like, ooh. I don't know if they had the budget.
Yeah, no, you are correct in that, because like. I mean, you don't got to be, like, besties with your neighbors, but they probably lived in that house for a long time. And, like, girl, you can't take your kids to the neighbors or something? Like,
like not one little friend or nothing. Just, like, ooh, just in their room.
Another scene, though, that kind of, like, not, like, pissed me off, but it's just there was no callback to it or any follow-up was when they called the Child Protective Services on her.
Right,
and that's what her house.
That's what I was trying to like. What I'm referring to is just like they never brought any of the like the beginning scene back. I'm just like, oh
yeah, like there was no callback to that. It was like, so you brought so Child Protective Services comes once and don't come back.
I don't know, that's a damn lie.
For real, like my mom works at that, just so I know that's not true. So it was just like, okay, so y'all think this lady is like burning her kids and everything, and then nothing comes of it. Like what?
Right.
I don't know. That was just like there was no like callback to that. And I guess same thing with that scene with the doll that the little girl lost, because that like it could have been different if like they were like, oh, that doll was given to.
I think it was her father. Like, I think they said, oh, I think the only thing we have is just like saying, I don't know when it was that scene where she was just trying to comfort her. We're saying like, you remember what your father told you, you know, like just hold on to her. That's all I remember. That's the only thing that they referred to with her father. So that's why I think maybe her father gave it to her, but I don't
know. Okay. If that's the case, I could agree. But it just didn't, it was just like so random. I feel like it really wasn't brought up enough for me to care that she would do all of that for it, especially with the situation. Like, I know they're kids.
Girl, I mean, the doll was not that worth it. Come on now.
For real. And I'm like, I know, like, the kid, like, you know, they're kids and all, but girl, you almost got dragged like twice. Like, come on now. Like I don't think she would do that. But yeah, that was just not a good decision. And
I was screaming at that scene. She just yanked her.
And I think lastly, just to kind of round out for me at least, I think the number one scene that probably like pissed me off probably most of this movie was them killing La Llorona with the cross from the tree.
Don't even remind me that, please. That was just like, that was it.
I was like, so we've been talking this whole time about water and all this stuff. Like, so it wasn't like anything in relation, I guess, in relation in quotations, because the tree was made of the wood that was around when she drowned the kids. But it was so anticlimactic when it happened.
But that was confusing because they made it seem like this is from the tree that witnessed her crime, the only witness of her crime. But in the flashback, there was a whole fucking forest she was in. So why don't we have several crosses from several different fucking trees? Why is this one fucking tree the only witness to the crime? I saw a whole bunch of trees around. I saw some twigs, all types of shit. I'm trying to understand why is this one tree and this one particular cross?
I'm dead.
No, I know exactly.
I don't know. It's just they always got to make your religious again. Like that's one thing that the Conjuring universe does, and they try to find some way to put it in there. Like, you already gave us the priest times two.
I mean, at least for me, I don't really care about the religious context of it, but also
I don't either, but they try to, like, when they do stupid stuff like this, it's like, come on.
Yeah, like, that, in my opinion, it's just, like, it's just such an easy cop-out to the situation, and it's like, what, like, I don't know, like, it just felt, like, so easy. Like, to be fair, I feel like, at that point, somebody random could have probably discovered that shit. Like, it just started trying to stab her with the cross. Like, I don't know. It just felt like really random and not really, it felt like it wasn't like a given win. It felt like such an easy, like, cop out win.
I'm just saying, like, if it was that easy, why haven't the people of Mexico done that?
No, exactly. Exactly. Like, the legend was like from the 1600s at that point. Oh, so, like, nobody.
I mean, wouldn't the village and the township was from, wouldn't they have thought of that? Like, oh, this is probably.
That's what I'm saying.
And when did they cut these trees down to make them into crosses? Like, I need more stories, no more backstory about this fucking tree now, because, like, when did this happen?
Oh, don't say nothing. James Wan might give you another sequel.
Wait, I don't know about y'all. But what really pissed me off, the scene, dead ass, I don't know why, but it really pissed me off, was, you know how, like, at the ending, they were getting ready for La Llorona to come, and they just, like, they pan from one scene, and then it goes black, and then the next scene, black, and another scene, I'm like, what the fuck?
This. I think they were trying to go for the Conjuring stylistic editing.
Oh, hell no.
You know, Conjuring did all those fucking zooms and shit.
I'd rather have the zoom over that.
I'm just trying to get back to that. But to get back on track, we can move on to the characters. And I want to start with Patricia. Now, for me, the first time I saw this movie and rewatching it for this review, I kept looking at this actress like, who the fuck is this lady playing Patricia? And it just kept getting stuck. And I was like, girl, fuck it, I'm going to Wikipedia. And I was like, this is fucking a Knock to the Moon from the Brendan Fraser fucking movie.
Yes, that's her. Like, I knew who she was immediately.
I wasn't clicking for me. Have you never seen the Brendan Fraser mummy trilogy?
No, I haven't seen it.
Sis was a baddie, and I was like, not the baddie with the body paint from the 2000 movie. I'm like, girl, this is a Knock to the Moon. I'm like, okay, this is who she was. But going back to the movie, I needed to know more about Patricia. Like, how did La Llorona get attached to Patricia and her kids? Like, they're making it seem just like La Llorona is just like stalking single moms with two kids. And I need to know more. Like, is she stalking moms who are sad or depressed or who, like it just...
Right.
I needed to know more, about Patricia and how Patricia ended up with the curse. And, like, we didn't even get to see Patricia and her kids. And they, like, for a grieving mother who just lost her kids...
She really stopped grieving real quick. Like, yes. She had one scene
She went from grieving her kids to then pretty much setting loose and cursing the other kids. Like, really? You went from mourning your kids to then not even let some other person's kids be killed? Do you possibly get your kids back? And at that point, I was like, I don't even care about this character. Like, y'all got me, I turned on her. And when she made that switch at the end, I was like, I still don't like you, bitch. You sent this woman to kill these kids. You knew what she was going to do. Even if you got your kids back. Like, what?
I was going to say something, but I can't. It's too, I'm internally laughing, but y'all not going to laugh at me. I was literally saying, because I'll tell you about that. I'll put you in a second. I was literally saying, she was... mentally just passing along, like, you don't have to pass it. That's all.
You know,
pretty much.
Bye.
But what about you, Tawan? What are your thoughts on Patricia?
She was already in a predicament regardless, because even if Patricia was able to explain, like, you don't know what was happening, there's no way she'd have been able to, just because due to the situation of her already being in the watch of, like, Child Protective Services and whatnot. So, like, there was not much, like, she really would have been able to do there to kind of stop her kids from getting taken. And, like, that was kind of, like, I felt like that portion of it was kind of good for this movie, because it's like, damn, like, she really can't do anything at this point in time because of the predicament she's already in. So, sure, I get her trying to, like, pray to Llorona to take someone else's kids instead of hers, just because they died and she was trying to save them but couldn't in that time. But outside, like, past that, though, and we get to the end of the movie where she's, like, there. I don't think she just needed to come back. Like, there was no reason for her to come back at that point. Like, we already, like, it was another one of those, like, plot conveniences that just was there to, you know, help a character out. And they brought her back just so she could get, Anna out of the basement that she was locked in. I feel like it probably would have been better to have the priest come to get her out instead of Patricia. I feel like that would have been a better choice, at least in my head. I don't think Patricia was, like, a bad character or anything, but, you know, it set up how we got to where we were, but I don't think she needed to be in the third act of the movie.
Elian, what are your thoughts on Father Perez?
He was literally there just to get the cutscene of Annabelle.
He was just like the continuing thread. Like, okay, by the way, guys, this is part of the Conjuring universe. He's Father Perez.
Yeah, no, like, I really have no words for Father Perez, because he was just there. He was just telling us the story of La Llorona, and then just saying, like, just brings back Annabelle, literally the cutscenes, and I'm just like, okay, great. Like,
Tuan, what are your thoughts on Raphael?
My thoughts on Raphael immediately were, that's Tuco from Breaking Bad, because...
Yes! I hate you.
I was like, what is he doing here? Like, that was my thoughts the entire time seeing him. Like, I don't know why I couldn't take him serious in his role, because I was like, that's Tuco from Breaking Bad. Like, I can't take him serious.
My head went from... Oh my God, that's old boy from The Closer. Oh my God, that's old boy from Breaking Bad. Like, my head just kept going back and forth on those two.
I don't know why I could take him serious in this role, but so he was, yes, his character was useful. He helped them, you know, get the, like, the, what was it, firewood, I believe, around, like, the house and stuff so that they could try to keep her out. He was actually pretty helpful what he was able to do. I don't see why the priest couldn't help as well, though. I think that's something that keeps coming back in my mind. I don't see why the priest couldn't help more.
He did help the best he can, especially, like, he's not wrong. Like, you know, the church has to keep its reputation and its image in pristine condition, even, like, after, you know, the amount of years of, like, let's just be honest with that. But it was just, like, the church won't do shit. They really, like, they will wait. They'll make you wait.
Okay, but like, we just saw them send a fucking rookie nun to go handle some shit that was happening at the nunnery. People were nuns.
She handled it, though.
And then, I mean, they got Ed and Lorraine going country to country fucking shit up. So they couldn't send the other priest to go do some shit.
They were standing on Ed and Lorraine was standing on business.
Okay, in their defense, the last time he tried to, like, actively do something, Annabelle whooped his ass. Okay, so your father was like, no, you can't. can't go. Okay, never mind. Go ahead,
Torn. Oh.
I was just going to say, like, besides that, though, like, he was helpful, you know, within what he had to do under, like, his constraints of being outside of, like, the church and stuff like that. And if he wasn't there, they really would have been SOL. So he served his purposes as to kind of, like, lead us into the third act, but there wasn't much else there. I kind of had a thought, like, I had a thought about how I would probably have wanted his character to be, but I'll pass on that for now. We can continue.
Oh, no, I want to hear. Share it to class.
I felt like it would have been cool if he wasn't a actual, like, shaman or like, whatever his actual role was. And what if he was the husband of Patricia? And he was actually trying to light it on the door.
Yes, that would have been good. You know what? I felt like that in the beginning. It was like, oh, never mind. You know what? Yeah. That would have been so much better.
He was a little, I don't know.
Yeah, because his vibes was off a little bit. Like, to the point where he used the kid as bait.
Especially when he walked away, like, slowly. I'm like, that could have been good. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so let's talk about Anna and the kids. Now, we learned that they're going through a loss. Anna lost her husband, the kids lost her father. And she works for, and she's struggling with her work-life balance post losing her husband. And I wish, it's not even a problem with Anna and the kids. It has to go back to them not fleshing out the story of La Llorona. And if they were going to tell the story the way they told it, then they should have not chose La Llorona and just made some shit up. Because when it goes back to Patricia, okay, Patricia's a single mom, she's on hard times, she has some kids. You have Anna, who's now is a widow, and she has two kids, and she's on hard times, she can't find, the kids are late for school, she's late for work, she can't find a good balance in her new circumstances. And it's just like, if we were told that the entity were drawn to women and mothers and families in this situation, then I would get it. Because we started to see similarities between Patricia and Anna, but none of that has to do with La Llorona. And I just wish it was something that could have been, like, it just, like, yes, I feel for Anna, I feel for the kids. And the kids, like, those actors were great. They sold me on the fear and the panic and all of that. Like, that was great. Linda Carlini was killing it. But I just feel like the script and the story didn't do them justice. I needed more for why they were in peril. And you can't tell me that the only reason this is happening is because Patricia made a deal with La Llorona? Like, did you make this deal as she was drowning your kids or afterwards?
That's what I want to say. No, but that's the thing that really confuses me. Because, like, if we look back at the beginning, remember how the son actually went to go investigate and then he sees La Llorona in the background. He doesn't see Patricia until, like, in the mid. Or did they see each other before? Did they see each other before? Or was this, once he came back to the car, they saw Patricia?
Yeah, after the Patricia's kids were killed, we don't see her until, like, that scene where she was telling her that, like, she was telling Anna that she let her kids get killed. But it was at the point where she was at the police station, and Anna was talking to her, that she said she prayed that La Llorona would come for her kids next.
No, I understand that, but did the kids see Patricia before or after La Llorona made her little cameo with Anna's son?
Oh, I don't think she's seen her kids in that time frame, because it looks like they took them to, like, a halfway home.
Yeah, because I was really confused by it. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, it looks like wherever they were, it looks like they took them to a halfway home, and they probably took her under. Like,
got it. Kids. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so Anna got her kids taken away.
No, Patricia got her kids taken away, then.
I mean, well, Anna, like, took the kids away, I mean. Okay, so that's what you say. So because the kids weren't with Patricia, Patricia couldn't keep them safe. So La Llorona was able to get a hold of them. Okay, now I missed that scene or that dialogue. Okay, now that makes more sense to why she was blaming them. But still,
go ahead.
But I still don't understand. Like, I need more than just Patricia pray to La Llorona to come take Anna's kids for why Anna is going through this. Like, you can't build all these similarities to Patricia and Anna and have the only connection be, oh, I prayed for this to happen to you.
Well, I don't, which, you know, it doesn't even make that much sense as well, because La Llorona had already seen, was it Chris? The son? Yeah. La Llorona had already seen Chris at the crime scene, so it was like, so she was going to get him either way. She already put the marker on him when she
burned him. That's what it comes to question. Like, did this happen? Did you pray for this to happen to Anna before your kids were killed? Like, the moment that the kids were taken from you, did you start praying, please take her kids?
It could be possible just to assume that's what happened. Because, I mean, we know from earlier that Anna was working with Patricia's case for, like, some years at this point. So she probably known that Anna also had kids. And
that's why you don't tell folks your private business. Like, you shouldn't be telling the people who, like, no, but outside of that, I did like the family scenes. You know, I liked how you could tell that they were close, and that you can tell that the three of them are close and they're trying to, like, get some normality back into the family, but they're also all collectively, like, grieving. And with the son was just, like, taking action, trying to keep everybody safe, you know, and then, yeah, he's running around playing cops and robbers, like, because his dad was a cop, like, but also, okay, but then that thing, her husband was a cop. Why the hell aren't there any cops around to help? Why we just got a fucking priest? You showed us this one cop, and you showed us the detective, but they didn't really play a part in the story.
I mean, why would they have helped that, though?
I don't know, but, like, don't we've give me all this.
You seen what they did in Conjuring 2?
No, literally. Well, like, what are they going to do?
But still, like, you don't give me all this, like, all this extra knowledge and all this, like, exposition. And not do anything with it. I hate when they do that. If you're not going to use it, then don't fucking show me or tell me.
No, that's for real, because they really try to put a lot of, like, you know, plot in like the first 30 minutes. I don't know if you like maybe like the first 30 to 45 minutes, but every plot had like all these plots that they were putting just didn't connect. Like, we obviously know the main story is already Anna and the kids, and then just Patricia, then La Llorona is just like basically passed on to Anna. But there was no point. Like, firstly, why did Anna have to be in that scene where she has to see these dead kids? One. Two was, they should have, I feel like they should have built up more at the beginning with Patricia, because honestly, if we had more information with like how Patricia, like what happened to Patricia, what got her into the child protective, like what's it called? CPS, basically. NCPS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like there were so many like missing details on the beginning, and then I feel like what was the point of Anna being in the crime scene? Like, on top of that, why was Patricia there? And it was just more of like, I also wanted to see how the kids got out of a secured location and there's nobody there.
Well, it was the 70s. The security systems weren't like all they cracked up to be, you know.
I mean, there should still be security. Like,
I mean, they didn't even have kids on milk cartons at this time. So, you know.
I forgot about that shit.
Yeah, so you know, the whole serial killer thing was just starting to become known. You know, you gotta take a little grain of salt. You know, they weren't too smart about the crime back then.
It was just like,
come on. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, there were just some scenes that just didn't make sense to add into this film. Instead of like, they could have just, instead of the scenes that were not really useful or like really needed, they should have used that time to build up more for what happened. Like, how did Patricia meet La Llorona? I would have rather have that and then let it process a little bit more. Oh, excuse me.
Like, that's even hard. If they were just like going, if they were like, if they would have went to, oh yeah, we're on a trip to Mexico after my husband died, would have been better. At least they would have been in Mexico. They would have been around where the legend happened. They would have been, it could have been done, but they could have just did something more. But what about you, Tuan? What are your thoughts on Anna and the kids?
Agreeing with you all, they definitely were all like acted like well. Linda Cardellini is a good actor, and the kids were good here as well. But yeah, it was just some kids. It was like really, I won't get much on like the kids part of it all. More so on like Anna's character that, I don't know. I feel like somebody who works in child protective services would probably have alternate like ways to probably take care of some of this stuff. Like, yes, we're working with supernatural here, but I don't know, like she was doing a lot of stuff that, if you know that the story La Llorona after, like at this point, involves like a woman drowning her kids, like why are you just letting your kid in the shower, I mean the bathtub, take a bath by herself? And you know that you didn't see this entity yourself in the house at this point. And
why are you not getting away from the fucking pool in your backyard?
Exactly. Like, why is the pool not being drained? Like, I don't know. Like, certain precautions could have been taken by Anna's character at a certain point. Especially after, you know, like, what the situation is. But outside of that, they didn't, I don't know, like they really didn't give Linda Cardellini much to work with on like a writing side of things, which like Mark mentioned. And I think at the end of it, that's what kind of comes down to it in this movie, is that the screenplay and like the script was, it was kind of sucks. And it's very like cookie cutter, in my opinion, for the, like, you know, like horror movie. And you know, not all horror, like some horror movies stuff we can kind of, you know, skirt around it, but it was just a lot of stuff didn't really make sense or kind of add up to where it could have been, or a lot of kind of story beats that they started but didn't, you know, come back to and stuff like that. And I know I brought this up in like scenes, but the whole when they brought the child protective services to her house, I know it probably, you know, it'd have been hard to kind of explain that from her POV, but at that point, like, I don't know, she could have did something else. She could have did something. It wasn't really, but it, I don't even know why I'm stressing about it, because it wasn't even brought back up anyway. So it doesn't even matter.
That's what I'm having issues with. Like, I will say right now, I'm having issues trying to even describe a few of those, because like there's so many like plots that are open that I don't even know what to discuss.
Yeah, I was about to get into a part of it, but yeah, it's like, yeah, at that point it don't even matter because they didn't bring it back up.
No, for real.
All in all, though, Anna was fine. The kids were fine on a acting level. Everything else was the writer's fault.
No, I 100% agree. I just agree on that one. I was hoping for some, like, this was the first time I ever watched this film, and I was like hoping, like, you know, to be wrong. I was like hoping it was gonna be good, but it just really left me very speechless. Where I'm like, I'm confused at the same time. It's not just even confused. It's not even just confusion. It's just more of like, what the fuck did I watch? Like, and the writers, I feel like they just copied and pasted the legend La Llorona, and then they just added it to this film and just basically just wrote her in as like a demon that stalks children. Just like it was you and Mark that brought it. I was like, just stalk children that literally are with like, what's it called? What's the word I'm looking for? You know, shit. Take that part out.
We should go on ChatGPT and ask it to write a script for a Lion on a movie and see if it's better.
I mean, there are a lot of movies out there, so we might have to watch those so I get a better idea.
I did hear the. I think there's a 2022 version, actually.
There is. There's like a couple. There's like a couple Mexican movies, and there's like some Venezuelan movies and a Guatemala movie as well. Like, there's like a whole thing that will probably give us a better version than this, because watching a movie, like, I don't know, it's just like, so she killed her kids because she killed, according to this movie, the movie's version, she killed her kids because she found out that her husband was cheating on her with someone else.
What the kids got to do with it? Damn.
But yes, but also, I'm like, girl, bend my head, I'm just like, girl, back in the day, like, you know, girl, just write the check and I'll take care of these kids. Like, you know, do what you got to do. But don't murder the kids over it. Like, he's still with that bitch. And the kids are dead. Like, you didn't accomplish anything. But I just feel like, also just feel like, okay, if you're going to take this legend and not stay true to it, flesh it out more. Turn it on its head. Do something different. Or not use the legend at all and make your own shit. They could have copied parts of this and just called it something else. And then, you know, because Annabelle movies aren't based off anything that's truthful.
That is true.
The Nun isn't based off anything that's legitimate. So they could have taken some random legend. They could have took this story and then put another name on it, and it'd been great. But I feel like we have a legend, you have a story that's so steeped in cultural like relevance, you can't fuck that up with this. And that's exactly what they did. But what about you, Juwan? What do you think about La Llorona?
I already talked about it, didn't I?
Oh, damn.
Didn't I? Oh, wait, no, I didn't. My bad.
It wasn't.
No, yeah,
I know,
my bad.
I know, I'm not that high.
Lionona in this movie was, now I'm not gonna say like, oh, I know what a Lionona spirit should be doing. I don't, but she felt like she was just doing random stuff when the opportunity was already there to kind of, take the kids if she really wanted to. I watched, you know, a video that was talking about the movie, and the guy in the video brought up a funny point that I guess I'll mention here, in that he felt like Lionel to kind of be like Pennywise in It, where there were opportunities to like get the kids, but like in It, Pennywise didn't, because he had a reason to, because he fed off, he wanted them to be more scared or fearful. That made sense. Whereas in here, Lionel had like three chances to take that little girl if she really wanted to. Like, yeah, the pool scene, you also had the one scene where, well, actually no, the first pool scene where the little girl's playing with the umbrella, she literally went right over the pool. The scene where the little girl was in the bathtub, where she did try to drown her, she was just unsuccessful. And then the third like pool scene. But it was just like a lot of stuff where, like, why are you doing all these random jump scares? If you really wanted to get these kids, you could. Now, yes, it's for the plot. We, like, yeah, we all know that, but it's just, it just seems like very like inconsistent at a certain point, where, you know, the supposed villain or demon is not really doing what they're saying they're going to do, because it's not, they weren't even like unsuccessful. At certain points, it's just not even trying. So I don't know. It didn't really, it was just kind of inconsistent with what Lyurdona was doing. It's kind of the same thing with the nun, where, you know, Valak was just doing whatever the fuck Valak wanted to do. And it kind of, well, it didn't feel like that fully. But the nun, but Lyurdona was also kind of doing a bunch of that type of stuff as well. And in the movie. And I do wonder if, like, you know, at the end where, like, the, I think it was it? I forget how it came up where she like turned to her normal self for a second. I forget exactly what happened there. But when she like saw herself in the mirror, she like went back to whatever. But I'm like, if she didn't see herself in the mirror, would that have resolved it? That she looked pretty again? But yeah, those are my little thoughts on Lionona.
Ariel?
I really am going to agree here with Juan, because like, Lionona could have just drowned the girl, to be honest, because like, unlike, like, for example, like the nun and like the past demons, they kind of fed off the fear because that's what they derive pleasure from, but Lionona basically was just a killer. She killed her kids because of like envy. And, like, basically, the legend is, like, if you leave your kids unattended, or, like, you know, if you're, Lyurdona will take your kids and she'll basically drown them. Like, there was no need, obviously it's for the plot, like Chuan said, but it's just, like, there was no need for her to feed off of these kids and anything. She could have just killed them instantly. That's literally all I can say. Plus, the makeup on Lyurdona was very terrible. I was like, what the fuck am I looking at?
That's true.
It was so bad. It was just terrible.
Like, why was she gray at some point? Like, why?
I think the reason why she was gray is because, like, didn't they say, like, in the film, like, she killed herself there too, in the water? And from what I know, like, the water, like, your body's decomposing, your flesh does turn into a grayish tone.
Yeah, but we've seen, like, entities before. I don't know. This,
I could be wrong, but I'm not really sure. I think that's what they were trying to go for, but still, like,
nah, the movie's wrong. We'll go with that. The movie's wrong. So,
no, 100%.
So, yeah, the movie's wrong. And with that, Juan, can you give the people the behind-the-scenes info and facts, sir?
Yes, I can. So, The Curse of Lyurdona had a budget of $9 million and it brought in a box office. Wait. It brought in a box office of $123.1
million. I know you fucking lying.
While this was director Michael Chavez's first entry in the series, he would go to direct The Nun 2, Conjuring 3 and 4 now.
Oh, that's right. There is a fourth one.
I don't like his directing style, but okay.
Well, Yoda said it all.
As a promotional stunt, a theater in Montreal, Quebec, that was supposed to play Pokemon Detective Pikachu, played this film instead, causing the children to run out crying. Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, that's funny. Despite being largely and widely accepted by the public as a spinoff chapter from the Conjuring universe, the information was later confirmed to be false by the director, Michael Chavez, who stated that the film was never meant to be included in the shared universe and that it couldn't be fully embraced because it was made without one of the main producers from The Conjuring.
James Wan.
But they still did it anyway.
It's still part of it, you know?
Yeah. Samantha's seen watching.
Wan just mad.
Huh?
I say Wan just mad. Oh,
yeah, true. Samantha is seen watching a classic Scooby-Doo Where You cartoon. Linda Cardellini, who plays her mother Anna, played Velma in Scooby-Doo and Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed. Two of my faves. In some versions of the story, Leonora wasn't the one to kill her children. One tale tells of a poor woman and her husband who started having children but could not afford to feed them. The husband's solution was to drown the children. After giving birth to their fifth child, Leonora followed her husband to the river where she saw him throw the newborn into the water. Desperate to save her child, she jumped in after the baby and drowned. Ever since, she returns to the riverbed nightly, weeping and wailing at the loss of her children. Some critics' reactions. The film currently sits at a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. At Metacritic, the film has a weighted average score of 41 out of 100 based on 28 critics, indicating mixed or average reviews. From Rotten Tomatoes, it says a formulaic slab of supernatural. What? I'm being honest, I don't know that word. I'm going to start that over. From Rotten Tomatoes, a formulaic slab of supernatural movie destined to be forgotten by years or perhaps even months in. From IMDb, it could be better. It has a boring atmosphere and doesn't scare you. The Nun was better. At least it's three good jump scares within this one.
Well, enough about them. What about us? Do we cash or pass The Curse of La Llorona?
So I definitely pass on this movie. It's not my favorite. I think it's the worst out of the whole series. It was boring. It wasn't scary. It was cheesy. Like, it looked cheesy. I think the story itself wasn't good. And I guess maybe I'm also very biased because, you know, it's a legend that I'm very familiar with. And it was just not, you know, it just wasn't a good movie.
Elian?
Pass.
Just pass and no explanation?
This whole podcast is already the explanation.
Well, what about you, Tuan? Do you cash or pass?
Very much pass on this movie. Will not be watching it again. Only watched it for us and the viewers, listeners. But besides that, I don't see myself ever coming back to this one. It was just not that good of a movie. The writers were not really on their A-game with it.
And for me, it's also going to be a pass from the writing to the directing to it not being truthful or respectful of the source material, I should say. I don't know. Kind of like heartbroken because before I hit play to rewatch it for this review, I enjoyed this movie. I don't know what I enjoyed, and I wish I can go back and just like talk to myself because I don't know what I saw originally because this isn't what I saw. There's no way this is the movie that I saw that I was like, oh, I love this movie. So I don't know. I'm kind of... This is a pass for me. But join us next week as we review Annabelle Comes Home. Now, this one This one I've seen. No, I didn't see the first two Annabelle movies because I don't do porcelain dolls. But I felt like I had to watch this when this one came out because Ed and Lorraine was in it. And I thought, I was like, okay, this is going to be a more of a direct sequel to those Conjuring movies. And because I knew that Conjuring 3 was coming out, I was like, okay, maybe I should watch Annabelle Comes Home. And from what I remember, I enjoyed this movie. But it's been a while. I mean, I also enjoyed Halloween. See how that turned out. So tune in next week to see if I still enjoy it. Good night.
Let's never talk about this movie ever again. If you like this episode, please check out the Haddonfield Horror Podcast from big series like Friday the 13th, Halloween, and Saw, or our one-off reviews like The Blackening and Hereditary. You can follow Haddonfield Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the hosts post updates and mini-reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms and YouTube. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. The Haddonfield Horror Podcast is produced by Mark Smart,
Maria Perez,
Juan Griffin, and Elian Cordova. Themed by Lethal Injection and edited by Mark Smart.
The Haddonfield Horrors Podcast is a Letters 2 Media production.
Should we do an intro?